the governments of the United States and Cuba have decided to try to thaw relations. What does that mean for the Tampa International Airport?
Well, starting in September of 2011, we actually kicked off, for the first time in 50 years, nonstop flights between Tampa and Cuba. And those flights have been incredibly successful. In fact, since their inception, we've had 160,000 people have flown on those flights between Tampa and Havana and Holguín and Santa Clara. Just in the last year, there's been a 32.9% increase in passengers that are traveling between the two places. And that's driven by a couple of things. One is we're home to the third largest population of people of Cuban ancestry living in the United States. And so there's a tremendous demand for people that want to go to Cuba. But with that base of traffic that exists, there's also a lot of people that are not of Cuban ancestry that are interested in learning more about Cuba. And those have been people that have helped to make those flights successful. So as the administration goes back and looks at their regulations, you know, what are we anticipating? We anticipate there's going to be no change to the embargo. So you're going to continue to have to go through a carrier service provider or a travel service provider if you want to travel to Cuba, which is not a big deal. But we do expect that the licensing process is going to be much less complicated. And so for those people in the past that maybe didn't have family in Cuba that were saying, "My gosh, I don't know if I can travel to Cuba," it's going to become much, much easier to be able to go. So I think what that's going to mean for us is the opportunity for additional flights. These flights have been a tremendous boon for Tampa International Airport, and we've generated about $1 million a year in incremental revenue from the passengers and the airlines that are providing the service. And so we think that that's a tremendous opportunity for growth.
What's the process like for someone who wants to travel there? What are some of the legal reasons that people can go and travel to Cuba? And what kind of hoops do they have to jump through?
You know, it's a great question. And in fact, we went to Cuba recently, and coming back and sharing our pictures with folks, one of the things that I heard over and over again is, "You know, I wish I could travel to Cuba." And the answer is you can. But because of the perception of the complexity, and it is a little bit complex, I think people just say, "Well, I'll wait until I can, maybe I'll do something else that's a little bit less work involved." We created a website called gotocuba.org. And it's a comprehensive resource that has all of the kinds of travel that people can go to Cuba under, both general licenses and specific licenses. So your question about, you know, how can people get there? Visiting close relatives is the number one reason that people right now are traveling to Cuba. But there are other general licenses for official government visits, journalistic activity, professional research, education, religious trips, and then also specifically related to agriculture and telecommunication. These are two industries that are permitted under the embargo to do business in Cuba. And then there are specific licenses, like the people-to-people licenses, that allow regular people like you and I the opportunity to travel to Cuba and interact with people there and to get a better understanding of what's really happening in Cuba. Other things like athletic competitions or even being able to attend conferences and seminars.
Your GoToCuba.org campaign has kind of taken an uptick. It's been more visible lately. I've seen billboards on Interstate 275. Are you doing this because of the recent changes by the two governments?
Yeah, well, that's the latest in a series of things that we've done to try to raise awareness of these flights. We had already done a pretty active campaign around GoToCuba.org, and that was back in June of 2013. So we were able to reactivate some of those elements, and we took those live on December 17th, the day that President Obama made the announcement. And I'll tell you that we saw about a 1,000% increase in the traffic going to gotocuba.org. Now that it's leveled off, we're getting about 300 unique visitors a day. And it's traffic that's coming in from all over the country. And these are people that are really interested in for the first time, maybe making that first trip to Cuba.
And that might come through Tampa as opposed to before people might have thought, "Oh, I'll have to go to New York first or I'll have to go to Miami first." But it sounds like you might be getting people that will first come to Tampa and then go to Cuba.
Tampa International Airport has so many strategic advantages to be able to serve this traffic. Number one is the population base. We have 120,000 people of Cuban descent that live within a 90-minute radius of Tampa International Airport. But we also have incredible facilities. Right before these nonstop flights to Cuba started, we spent $27 million improving every element of the international arrival experience. And so they're better than anything you'll see anywhere in the country. And beyond that, for somebody in, let's say, Wichita or Chicago or anywhere in the country, we've got great nonstop flights, low-cost carriers like Southwest, JetBlue, Spirit, that can bring people here to Tampa International Airport, and they can check in for their flight to go to Cuba and make it really easy. And then the other thing is we've got a really unique Cuban heritage right here in Tampa Bay. And so for the traveler that wants to arrive early, maybe check out Ybor City and some of the Cuban flavor that we have right here for ourselves. It's a tremendous package.
So you've been. Tell people who haven't been why they should be interested in Cuba.
Oh my gosh. You know, as a person having grown up during the embargo, I think that for myself and for my friends, I never had any expectation that I'd ever have the opportunity to go. And, you know, Cuba, it's what you see in the pictures, right? It's a bunch of old cars and it's tobacco fields. But when you dig deeper, Cuba is so much more than that. It's such a rich tapestry of people and an incredible culture and the technology, organic farming. It's an incredible place to visit. And when you get there, maybe the first thing that really strikes you is how easy it is to get around. I'm a world traveler. That's what I do for a living. So I've spent a lot of time traveling through Mexico and Central and South America. And, you know, the first thing you see are, you know, guns at the security checkpoint and, you know, security details everywhere. There's almost none of that anywhere in Cuba. I think I saw one gun the whole time I was there, and it was a police officer that just happened to be walking down the street. But it was a really wonderful, eye-opening experience that, you know, this is a country that's just off our shore with wonderful people and wonderful opportunities for everybody here in the U.S. to be able to see and experience for themselves.